Good morning. A warm welcome to everyone in the sanctuary this morning and to everyone watching online today or later in the week. I would also like to extend a warm welcome to the Reverend Helen Cook, who will be conducting the service this morning. As most of you will know, Helen is a member of our congregation. Helen, it's a great pleasure to have you with us today. Some intimations for your attention. A meeting for people exploring church membership will be held in the Session House on Tuesday at 2 p.m. There will be a Stirling Kirks Together lunch in Park Church Hall on Wednesday at 12 noon. Articles for the summer edition of The Parishioner should be submitted by next Sunday. These can be emailed to parishioner@stninionsold.org.uk or left in the McMichael Chapel. Christian Aid Week is on the horizon. It's from the 12th of May to the 18th. Envelopes are in both vestibules of the church and can be returned in the coming weeks. You can also donate online. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm usually sitting in the pew now. I retired from doing locums in February this year, but I'm not allowed to stay completely retired. So I'm very pleased to be here. I've been enjoying worshipping with you during the last few months. And Gary is on a truly well-deserved break today, so I hope he's having sunshine and relaxing. The Bible readings for today are very interesting, and we'll hear two of them read later in the service. The call to worship today comes from the third reading from John's first letter to the early church, and it says quite simply, "We love because God first loved us." Let us pray. We thank you, all-embracing God, for this time of worship. When we gather here in person and online, all of us part of your family, we thank you that across the world so many people are meeting to worship you, and we rejoice that all of us are held together in the mystery of knowing that you love us and are calling us to love one another. So bless us now, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our first hymn is number 363. We have a gospel to proclaim, good news for all throughout the earth.
Thank you.
We have a gospel to proclaim. Let us pray. Gracious God, with joy, together we thank and praise you that in your power and wisdom you chose to live and die and rise again in your Son, Jesus Christ, bringing new hope to this world, a world that you love so much. We thank you for the ways in which you've touched each of our lives, giving us meaning and purpose, offering us strength, sometimes inspiration, calling us to live in faith and to journey through life depending always on you. We thank you for today's opportunity to meet with you and with each other. God of all, we thank you for our similarities and our differences, our varied talents and gifts, our differing characteristics and insights, all enriching our coming together in worship and in witness. We thank you for the friendship and the fellowship we share in Christ, and for his love which holds us close to you. For you grant us understanding. You accept us in our differences. You forgive us and teach us to value and to support each other. Great God, who sees us as we are and not as we would hope to become, we confess that we do not always behave as your people should. Sometimes our needs, our differences come between us. God of grace, speak to us now. Remind us again that we are your people and that in coming to you, we will gain everything. We thank you that in our weakness, we discover your strength. In sorrow, we receive your comfort. And in dying to self, we rise to you and discover life in all its fullness. Help us, O God, as we strive to live lives of faith and love, all to your glory. And hear us now as we share together the prayer Jesus gave us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our theme this morning is about favourites and faith. And I wonder what kind of favourites you have. On a very banal level, I was going to bring an apple, a banana, and an orange, but one of my daughters came to stay yesterday with her children, and much of the fruit, including all the oranges, has disappeared. But these are very similar, very simple examples of what kind of favourites we might have. Sometimes we come to church, and there's always beautiful flowers in the church, isn't there? But sometimes we see it's our favourite flowers. Lots of ways in which we have favourites. The other day somebody said to me, oh, I'm very glad I've got an appointment with Dr. So-and-so because he's my favourite. So in all sorts of bits of life there are favourites. Probably the easiest to be sure about what your favourite is a box of chocolates. Do you all have a favourite chocolate? Our problem is that most of our family has the same favourite chocolate. And that does lead to some difficulties, and usually to a couple of raids in the middle of the night around Christmas. I brought up favourites today because the readings seem to relate to this. And one of the biggest challenges in the very early church was about who are God's favourites. The early disciples and Jesus were Jews. And after Jesus' death, the disciples and resurrection, the disciples went on to preach to people and tell them the good news of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. But they only spoke in synagogues and in marketplaces and accepted Jews or proselytes, people who had changed from being pagan to being Jewish, into the early church. And in today's readings, God confirmed to his followers that the new life brought by Jesus wasn't just for them and for people like them, but it was for the whole world. John hints at this very early on in his gospel when he wrote some of the loveliest words in our faith. He said, "This you see is how God loved the world, enough to give his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him should not be lost, but have eternal life. After all, God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so the world could be saved by him." And that's really good news for all of us, isn't it? God has no favourites in that sense. You could say rather that all of us are God's favourites, everyone. I wonder, when we look at other people from all parts of our lives, whatever they are, how often do we think, "I'm looking at one of God's favourites"? Sometimes I think if I could remember to do that, it might improve how I live. We are all God's favourites. We're going to sing a hymn now, which is about the church. "The church is wherever God's people are praising," number 522.
Thank you. The first reading this morning is taken from the book of Acts at chapter 10, verses 34 to 48, and can be found on page 111 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. Peter began, "I now understand how true it is that God has no favourites, but that in every nation, those who are God-fearing and do what is right are acceptable to him. He sent his word to the Israelites and gave the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. I need not tell you what has happened lately all over the land of the Jews, starting from Galilee after the baptism proclaimed by John. You know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Because God was with him, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. And we can bear witness to all that he did in the Jewish countryside and in Jerusalem. They put him to death, hanging him on a gibbet. But God raised him to life on the third day and allowed him to be clearly seen, not by the whole people, but by witnesses whom God had chosen in advance, by us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to proclaim him to the people and affirm that he is the one designated by God as judge of the living and the dead. It is to him that all the prophets testify, declaring that everyone who trusts in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Peter was still speaking when the Holy Spirit came upon all who were listening to the message. The believers who had come with Peter, men of Jewish birth, were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit should have been poured out even on Gentiles, for they could hear them speaking in tongues of ecstasy and acclaiming the greatness of God. Then Peter spoke, "Is anyone prepared to withhold the water of baptism from those persons who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did?" Then he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. After that, they asked him to stay on with them for a time. And the second reading is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 9 to 17 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible, on page 94. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Dwell in my love. If you heed my commands, you will dwell in my love, as I have heeded my Father's commands and dwell in his love. I have spoken thus to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy complete. This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. There is no greater love than this, that someone should lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is about. I have called you friends, because I have disclosed to you everything that I heard from my Father. You did not choose me, I chose you, so that the Father may give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my commandment to you, love one another." Amen.
Thank you, Margaret. May God bless these readings to us. Our hymn is number 547, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
Thank you.
We bring to God now our prayers for our world and all the people in it. Let us pray. Living God, we bring to you our world where there is much pain and need and sorrow, a world that you care so deeply for, that you gave your all for it, living and dying among us through Jesus Christ, your Son. We ask once more that you will reach out in mercy with healing for us and for our world. We bring to you some of the causes of so much suffering. We bring you the greed which denies so many people a share in the world's resources. We bring the indifference to many who are suffering. Many who are suffering because of climate change and inequality. We bring you the desire for power over justice and equity. Great God, we ask you to reach out in mercy to our world. Mend our divisions. Guide our planning for the future. Guide all our affairs. Bring peace and not war and conflict. And give us strength and wisdom in all we say and do to bring peace and justice where we can. In a short silence now, we bring to you those we know who are ill, who are mourning, who are confused and uncertain about what lies ahead of them, those we know who are experiencing difficulties of all kinds today. May they know the comfort of your presence with them as we name them in the silence to you. Reach out, O God, and heal us of all that harms us. Fill us with the joy of knowing that you're with us, and you hear our prayers offered in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn is number 528, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. May the words that I say and the thoughts and feelings of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I must apologise to those of you upstairs. I haven't gone into the pulpit because with the Bible on top of the pulpit and me having lost an inch in height in the last 2 years, I need a box to stand in. So apologies that I can't actually see that many of you. Sorry about that. I wonder if you can remember times when you were anything but the favourite person with some other people. There are all kinds of reasons, aren't there, why we might not be in favour with others at the different stages of our lives. These will probably be different reasons. I was talking recently with friends from school days, and we agreed that there were many times that we were kind of in and out of favour with each other when we were very young. But the thing we really remembered and laughed ruefully as we remembered it was how it felt to know that you weren't the best at team sports, at games, and sometimes you were the last person left standing to be chosen for the teams. Our gym teachers used to select somebody good at games for each team, and then they would pick people out from the classes. And I have to say, quite often I was one of the last to be in the team. We laughed ruefully about this, and we talked about other experiences of feeling out of favour, and certainly not being favourites. It wasn't just in school, in Sunday school as well, when they were having their games, they did the same thing. Looking back, there have been different situations in life, I think, some more serious than others, when I have been out of favour, not a favourite. And I think you would probably agree with me that this is part of life. It happens at different times to everyone. And that makes the call to worship we had today from John's letter very important. John wrote quite simply, "We love because God loved us first." God's love is undeserved, freely offered to us all and to our world. And the reading in John's Gospel today takes us and our understanding of this even further. That chapter is worth reading, and you may have recognised it because it's often read on Remembrance Sunday, because it's interpreted by many as somehow offering praise for dying for your country. But in the passage, Jesus is clearly not talking of people dying in battle, but is talking of his love and his willingness to die as God had sent him to do for the world. And the passage ends with Jesus commanding his followers to love one another. And this is the message which his disciples took across the known world after Jesus' death and resurrection. And usually they preached it in synagogues and in marketplaces. At first, they only shared the good news with Jews and with those who converted to Judaism. I think you could imagine somehow why people saw this going on and felt attracted to a faith which was based on love. A message what not only spoke about God's love, but was somehow reflected in the people who were taking the message to them. Not only did the disciples speak about it, they tried to live by it and by Jesus' teaching. Which of us doesn't want to believe that we're loved and that we belong with other people who love us? I read an interesting response yesterday that was made by Tom Wright, a professor of New Testament and Early Christianity at the University of St. Andrews. He was once asked on the radio which religion he would choose if he could choose. And I wonder what other people would think of that question. What religion, if you could choose any religion and feel it was right, would you choose? But Tom Wright objected to the question, saying that the idea of choosing a religion was a mistake in the first place. Religions are not items on the supermarket shelf, he said, for us to pick and choose. Though he said many people today try to run their lives that way. Or if they are items on the supermarket shelf, you would have to say then that Jesus and following Jesus is not a religion, because it is a personal relationship of love and loyalty to the one who has loved us more than we can even begin to imagine. And the test of that love and loyalty remains the simple, profound, dangerous and difficult command, love one another. I think that in the time following Jesus' death and resurrection, this new religion that the disciples were spreading, this new religion with love at the centre, was so different from many other religions across and around the countries in the first century. There were religions that were sometimes very cold and very legalistic, and there were religions which were often like an exclusive club, and very demanding and very cruel in many instances. So it's not that surprising that people who weren't Jews either by birth or conversion saw what was going on in the early church and began perhaps to wish that they could belong to that religion. One such person was a centurion, a Roman officer called Cornelius. Obviously, as a Roman, he couldn't become a Jew, but we're told that he was very devout, and he and all his household revered God. And he gave money regularly to people who needed it, and he was very constant in his praying to God. And this man Cornelius and the disciple, the apostle Peter, were both absolutely crucial to the opening up of Christianity to everyone, regardless of birthplace, background, religion, lifestyle. It's worthwhile reading the whole of chapter 10 of Acts to just enjoy the drama and the decision-making through which it became clear that the early church was to be taken not just to the Jews and the proselytes, but to the whole world. It's a very shortened version of what happened, but you could read it for yourselves in Acts 10. In a vision, God told Cornelius to send messengers to Peter, who was fairly nearby, conducting a tour of some of the early churches. He was to send messengers to say to Peter, "I want to come and visit you. I'm going to come and see you." Meanwhile, Peter, in the heat of the day, went up onto the cool roof of the building he was in to have a sleep. And in his sleep, he had a dream where he saw a huge sheet full of the animals which the Jews considered unclean and not to be eaten under any circumstances. And he invited Peter to eat these animals, and three times Peter refused. Three times God asked him. And then God said to Peter, "What God has made clean, you must not regard as unclean." Anyway, Cornelius, there's a lot more to it than that. You might want to read the original. Cornelius arrived at the door of the house where Peter was staying just after Peter's dream ended and he'd come downstairs. And our reading from Acts 10:34 to 38, read by Margaret told us what happened then. It opened with Peter saying, "It's become clear to me that God really does show no favoritism. No, in every race, people who fear him and do what's right are acceptable to him." Peter then went on to tell his visitors the story of Jesus, his life, his death and resurrection. And the passage tells us that the Holy Spirit came down upon this group of people. And it was the first time that the people in the church had recognized that it came also upon the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And the ones that were there were baptized and accepted into the early church. I think it's impossible for us today to fully recognize just how huge, how momentous this was for the early church. But we can possibly look back with some awe and some gratitude for all that that has meant for us 2,000 years later. Just now there's considerable upheaval in Christian churches, not just the Church of Scotland, but other denominations. Some of it is to do with numbers of members, numbers of ministers, lack of members, lack of ministers. And there are issues that maybe we feel we can do nothing about. Some people are advocating new, fresh approaches to how we are, what we do as churches. And that means changes, and perhaps not many of us relish change. We're also surrounded by many changes in the society in which we live, and many questions about what is the church's place in society today. And I'm sure many of you could add other issues and influences which are affecting us, for good and for bad, in the churches. There are two particular issues which I think from today's readings which might speak to us in where we are today. The first is that God has called us as individuals to love him and to follow him, just as Cornelius and the others were called into the early church. And like all those in the earlier church, we're called, as John put it in his letter to them, we're called quite simply to love because God first loved us. Churches which show God's love will always welcome others, always reach out to those in difficulty and in need, and always be places where new people and all people in church feel that they belong. The second issue is back to where we first began. As Peter said, it has become clear to me that God really does show no favoritism. No, in every place, all people who fear God and do what's right and want to follow him are acceptable to him. Of course, we're closer to some people in church and how church works than to other people and other churches for all sorts of reasons. But this also made me think of the joint Bible studies that we held here in Lent and the joint services which were held in churches across Stirling in the week leading up to Easter. I recognised people from our congregation who were there and from many other congregations. And I think those who were there might agree with me when I say that these services were not at all alike. They were not the same as each other. Each of them reflected slightly different styles of worship from the different ministers and the different congregations. But I hope that, like me, those of you there found them refreshing and very thought-provoking. I'm sure we all favour the ways of doing things that are our ways. But maybe when ministers are thin on the ground and churches have to work together, we can follow Peter's insight, which revolutionized the early church. And perhaps it will become clear to us that God has no favorites. In every place, people who worship him and do what is right are acceptable to him and should be to us also. We step into what is really quite an uncertain future in terms of church, but it's one in which I think we should rejoice and look forward to being guided to new places by God. So may God bless and guide each of us in our lives, filling us with his Holy Spirit, with his love and his grace, all to his glory. Amen. Our hymn is number 259, Beauty for Brokenness, Hope for Despair.
Thank you.
Let us go in joy to serve the Lord. And as we go from this place, may we be aware of God with us and his grace, mercy, and peace rest upon us and all those dear to us, now and always.